Mark of the Beast. After tonight, we'll have 9 chapters left of this book, of the book of the Revelation. If we do it the way I've got it mapped out, that'll be 22 more sermons on Sunday night. And I really appreciate you sticking with me and enjoying this journey. It will be sometime deep into 2016 before we finish it. Lots of interruptions between now and then, first of the year. Revelation 13, we'll break in reading in verse 16, but I'll ask you to stand if you're physically able as we reverence the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. The Bible says this, He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Let's pray. Father, for your word, we're grateful. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to write and divide the word of truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In 1976, Gregory Peck starred in a movie entitled The Omen. The movie was remade in 2006 as well, but as you begin to do a little internet search about some of this stuff, you'll find that as well. But the movie opens with a silhouette of a young boy, the shadow which gradually turns into a cross. It's simple yet very chilling and sets the tone. Then the movie introduces you to Gregory Peck's character, Robert Thorne. It's in Rome. It's 6 a.m. on the sixth day of the sixth month. His wife, Kathy, has just given birth to a child which died almost immediately. At the hospital, a priest named Spileto convinces him to secretly adopt a child whose mother died during childbirth. Thorne agrees and then keeps it a secret from his wife. They give the child's name the name of Damien. It turns out the child is the son of Satan, the future Antichrist. One of the evidences of that child's identity is the number 666 that's found on the child's scalp. Oh, it's good, I guess, from Hollywood, but I'm not sure how big biblical it is. But nonetheless, it's still good for an open illustration, too. Probably, besides the number 13, no number has caused more havoc and apprehension and fear and so many theories and speculation than the number 666. In our world, it's become a symbol of Satanism and the symbol of a future apocalypse. The last couple of weeks, we've been introduced to two beasts. We saw the one rising from the sea and learned that he is the Antichrist who will establish a one-world government. And then we've seen a beast rising out of the earth, and we've learned that this is the false prophet who will establish a one-world religion. Now, Adrian Rogers is in heaven now. Thank God for the ministry of a man like Dr. Adrian Rogers as he's from the grave still speaks tonight. He's written a book that was entitled Unveiling the End Times in Our Time, and he gives this outline of the false prophet. He says he will become a servant of Satan. He'll be a worker of worship. He'll be a master of miracles. And number 4, he'll be a controller of commerce. We saw that the false prophet is a servant of Satan, one sent by Satan, and one who serves his aims and his ambitions. We just looked at some of that last week. We saw the false prophet as a worker of worship, for he'll create an image of the Antichrist, and he'll demand that folks worship it, and he'll kill those folks who don't. we also seen the false prophet do a bunch of miracles, and for he'll use his miracles and wonders to deceive the world. But tonight, we look at him as a controller of the commerce. It will be impossible to buy or to sell anything without the mark that he requires. The commerce will be under his total control and complete control as he works hand in hand with the Antichrist and with the devil. Here's what's funny to me is that lots of times now you hear people say they don't care about moral issues in our day anymore. The people in America will tell you the only issue that matters is the economy. It doesn't matter how many babies we kill this year. It doesn't matter if we redefine the definition of marriage. It doesn't matter that our morals are gone out the window just so everybody's got money and we're all happy and going along. Do you think that that's maybe getting us ready for the Antichrist? I do. I'm being serious. Notice with me, first of all, the place of the mark. Verse 13, the Bible says, and he causes all. Then he begins to describe all. So he makes sure he gets it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. The word mark there means literally a scratching or an etching. It speaks of a stamp or a badge of servitude. It's what you and I would call a brand. And we're reading several places in this chapter and other places in the book about this mark. And verse 16 is just simply called a mark. Verse 17 is called the mark. And chapter 14, verse 9, 15, verse 2, 20, verse 4, it is called his mark. Chapter 14, verse 11, it's called the mark of his name. Chapter 16, verse 2, chapter 19, verse 20, it's called the mark of the beast. Now, if you didn't get all that, I'll give it to you after church if you want it. I got it right here. Now, we remember in earlier sermons, we saw that God was marking his people as he seals those 144,000. God's seal was his mark upon them. Just as God will mark his people, Satan's now going to mark his people. Now keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the people who will receive this mark are lost people that don't know Jesus, that have been deceived and or have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ during their lifetime here on earth if the rapture was to come today. Well, notice with me two thoughts about this. First of all, it's forced upon all people. Verse 16. The Bible says he causes all. Now, the word causes is an interesting word. It describes that he'll make people take his mark. Then he says both great and small take the mark. It's descriptive of and small and great, and it's descriptive of their position, and leaders and servants, kings and peasants, presidents and people, the highest of the high and the lowest of the low, the powerful and the ordinary, everybody will take this mark. Now, the Bible says he'll make the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots, you know. We've always had some of that in our day. There's no difference shown when it comes to these possessions, though. Everybody's treated the same way. That's what they want now, isn't it? Everybody treated the same way. Free and slave, they're made to take the mark. There'll be no favoritism when it comes to privilege here. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole world, not just a few nations or just a few people, but every nation and every inhabitant on planet Earth will be required to have this mark. The news will be announced to the whole world that you got to have this mark. And you got to be required to possess this mark. No one will be excluded. Not one man, not one woman, not one boy, not one girl. No one. They'll be forced to take the mark. It's forced upon all people. Let me show you a second thing, though. It's found upon all people. Again, we're still in verse 16. He says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand, on their foreheads. Now, it's a mark that's found either on their hand or in their head. It will be on their right hand specifically. Those of you who are left-handed, I married someone that way, are a little strange at times. It'll be on their hand or their forehead. I guess it'll be a matter of choice. The text just doesn't say. There have been all kinds of speculation, though, about what this mark will be. I found it interesting in reading some of this stuff. Some people have suggested it will be similar to that of a tattoo. Now, I don't have any tattoos, and I don't make fun of folks who have tattoos, nor do I want any tattoos, by the way. It's just, I don't think it's inherently sinful to have a tattoo. If that's what you want to do with your body, you knock yourself out. Every once in a while, I'll see a few years ago, somebody here that used to go to church here some, he said I had an ugly towel. I thought, boy, you look like you fell face first into a tackle box. I mean, don't talk to me about an ugly tie. But you see folks like that sometimes. But that's what you like. That's your business. You're going to do that. But here's the thing. But you see a lot of that now. And I'm not suggesting that's anything to do with this. But I am suggesting that some people think it could be a type of tattoo. Now, if so, a visible mark of some kind. In recent years, it's been questioned whether or not it was some kind of implant. You know, it could be an implant of some kind. Don't know. By the way, all this is speculation. There's nothing in the Bible that says what it is. You read the text, that you can understand English. The Bible does not say for sure what it is. Implants have been discussed in our day and time, and it's growing each day as implants are destined to become part of our society. For instance, if you go to salon.com and do a search on that website for September the 7th of 2000, I did it, it is there. You'll find an article there that reads this way: put that chip where the sun don't shine. The article stated, worry no more, doting parents. Whether it's your little pumpkin's first day walking home from school by herself or the millionth time you've lost her at the mall, the babysitter TM will track your sweet pea's location from a jelly bean-sized microchip implant directly tucked under her collarbone. You'll be able to chart her every move. The article went on to talk about a Japanese firm that's already testing chips to track lost relatives. My question about that was, if they're lost, how do you put the implant in to start with? But that was just a question. I'm just trying to be, it was just a thought. I just read the article. I didn't think I necessarily agreed with all of it. I'm just telling you what it said. And the New York Times, in a nod to what editors imagine the future might hold, that the human genome project is now complete. They've asked several designers how we might carry around a chip encoded with our unique genetic sequence for perfection and perfect identification in matters of medical, official, criminal, or otherwise. On CNN.com, you got to love CNN. They want not to be outdone. They've got an article on theirs that says, tiny human-born monitoring device sparks privacy fears. It went on to say a Palm Beach, Florida company, telecommunications company, has developed a miniature digital monitoring device that can be implanted in people intended to assist in locating missing children or for monitoring the heart rate of at-risk patients. The article explained that the monitoring device created by Applied Digital Solutions, called the Digital Angel, can be planted inconspicuously under the skin, and the implantable transceiver sends and receives data and can be continually tracked by GPS technology. Isn't that pretty fascinating? It's not fascinating, Sam. It is fascinating to me. Well, it is scary. According to ADS, the device could track lost hikers, abducted children, military, diplomatic, and other essential government personnel. It could also identify individuals for e-business security as well as certain biological functions and alert a monitoring facility if it detects a medical emergency. It's possible that this mark could be some kind of implant. I don't know. The technology is certainly there. Some have speculated that it might be some type of barcode. You've seen in recent years we could take our phones and our smartphones and scan different things and it pull right there up on your phone, whether it be ball tickets to something in the grocery store. You can do anything and everything in between. Listen to this. This is interesting. Patent number 5,878,155 was issued to a Houston inventor, Thomas W. Heater, in 1999. It was described as a method for verifying human identity during electronic cell transactions. Heater's patent abstract reads, a method is presented for facilitating cell transactions by electronic media. A barcode or design is tattooed on an individual. Before the sales transaction can be consummated, the tattoo is scanned with the scanner. Characteristics about the scanned tattoo are compared to characteristics about the tattoo stored in a computer database in order to verify the identity of the buyer. Once verified, the seller may be authorized to debit the buyer's electronic bank account in order to consummate the transaction. The seller's electronic bank account may be similar updated by just a tattoo on your body. Now, I have to be honest with you. You're going to have to hold me down to put a tattoo on my forehead on my hand. You all right? I like to pass out last time I had surgery when they put the IV in my hand. I'm telling you, I don't like that. I'm told that having a tattoo takes a lot of shots of that just constant little pricks to put that ink in your skin. I can't imagine me doing that in my right mind. I have some friends who have them. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just a chicken of needles. Some have suggested this could be some form of a credit card, and that's certainly not out of the realm of possibilities either. But I do think this, that the world is becoming more and more ready for this to be adopted and used. Think of it this way. During Hitler's requirement of the Jews to wear a stamp or numbers tattooed on them during concentration camps, the Antichrist and the false prophet will turn the world into a global concentration camp during the tribulation period. Now, I can't speak for you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad when the horn toots, I'm going to scoot. And I won't be here anymore for all this kind of stuff, but I'm telling you what is happening. John Phillips, who's now in heaven, he writes these words in his commentary. One and all the unregenerate of the earth will line up to receive the brand of the beast in a universal display of solidarity. Some will receive the mark because they are convinced. The world, they think, has long needed to unite in a binding federation to end war and waste. They will be convinced that the beast can be centered a common government, a common market, and a common faith. That's what's being pushed in our throats every day of our lives. Others will receive the mark because they are careless. It will make no difference to them one way or another. They might as well bow to the beast as to some other dictator as for his mark. Well, so what? Others will receive the mark because they are craven. Not to receive the brand will be highly dangerous, for it will put a person in a very unpopular and a small minority, a minority under the highly popular beast. So then, for one reason or another, men will accept the mark. End of quote from John Phillips. He's in heaven now. I don't know for sure what it will look like, but I do believe this, that everybody that's on the earth, for the most part, except the small remnant of people who have trusted Jesus, those folks who have been preserved by the Lord, will accept this mark, and they will literally be under the control of Satan as the Antichrist leads this world under a one-world government and a one-world religion from the false prophet under a one-world currency. I do believe that. Well, let me give you a second thought. The place of the mark, but I see secondly, the purpose of the mark. What's the purpose? Why do all this? I'm glad you asked, because it's in verse 17, and we looked there. And the Bible says, "In that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Why would the Antichrist make people take this mark? Well, we see two reasons for that. First of all, for commercial purpose. A person will not be able to buy or sell without the mark. Now, in verse 17, we see the word may. The King James translation uses the word might. Same exact idea. The word speaks of being able or possible. There will be no black market of goods like there is now. Not long ago, someone asked Meredith how she liked, where she got her shoes at. This is funny. I was telling my friend about this on Friday night. I have a friend that's the manager of the Belk store in Lumberton, North Carolina. We've been childhood friends. We reconnected through Facebook a couple of years ago. We go to ball games some together when Justin can't go. Justin's even met him a time or two. He's a really nice guy. Someone asked Meredith, said, well, I really like your shoes. Where'd you get your shoes for at? She said, well, Zach got them for me. Her teacher at school to ask me, she said, is that a man in a van or something? Or did she got him out of the back of the van? And I just dropped my head. And I said, no, ma'am. He works at the Belk store, and he manages the Belk store. And I was telling him I was looking for a pair of shoes, and he sent me an email. He said, if you want these, you can get them for this price. And I said, does that help you? He said, absolutely. Any sale I make goes to my store. And, you know, and so I bought those from him. But during this time, there'll be no black market. There's black markets of goods. If you go to the internet tonight, you can find a knockoff about just about anything. Whether that be pocketbooks or for clothing or for appliances or whatever, it's all on there, isn't it? If you want to find it, it's there. There's a black market for that stuff. And people sell, there's a man in the van selling it somewhere. I've been in New York before. I do remember folks, that man in the van selling stuff out the back of the car. I'd be interested. I might talk to someone when I'm there next week. Elizabeth's been fussing at me, though. Y'all have to get this, y'all. I'm talking now. You hush. She's been saying that when you get on the subway, you can't talk to people like you do. You can't talk to everybody like you do. And I said, well, honey, I know. No, you don't know. I know how you are. You meet everywhere we go, you talk to people. But you can't do that in New York. And then you can't look at your phone either. You can't just keep your phone in your pocket and your head up and look straight. I mean, you think I was 2 years old talking to her. I mean, tell you what's true. But everything, though, during this time, now this is a serious, let me get back to my notes here. Everything will be controlled by this satanic mafia. You think about this. Well, preacher, why would people do that? Because mamas won't be able to buy milk for their babies unless they take the mark for that beast. Even lost mamas love their children, don't they? They won't have to have food for their table, and daddy can't imagine just his little boys, little girls going to bed and crying with hunger pains tonight, could he? People won't be able to buy gasoline for the car, electricity for the house, clothes or medicine or medical help. Farmers can't buy seeds for their fields or for their livestock. Businesses can't buy parts for their products. If you're in an accident, the paramedics will then look for the mark before they'll be able to treat you. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, I'm glad I'm saved. A person won't be able to sell things if they don't have the mark. The people who own businesses won't be able to move or distribute their goods. No business will be able to operate without the mark. Walmart or Kmart or Target or wherever you buy your stuff at will not be able to function without the purchase for the mark. And no deal equals no sale. No mark means no money, no brand, no buying. It's commercial purposes. Ladies and gentlemen, you find out who's got all the gold, you find out who runs the show, don't you? The second reason he does it, it's not just for commercial purposes, it's for controlling purposes. Remember now, the objective of the Antichrist is to do what? To rule the world. Why was Satan kicked out of heaven? Because he wanted to rule the world. And for a short time, he's going to be able to control the whole world. If he can control the commerce, and if he can control the currency, he would then have his objective. Can he not? The Antichrist, with the help and the assistance of the false prophet, will pull the strings of the world, and the world will be at his beck and call. When he controls that stuff, he'll have the whole world under his control. Folks do it in the secular world. Every time there's an election, people vote with their pocketbooks. I've had people tell me, I don't care what they believe about abortion, just so they get this thing right about the economy. We could talk about that too, but the fact of the matter is that I just don't think that we ought to look the other way when the baby killing, when you got folks who say that the baby killing abortionist is right to do that. I don't think that's right. And when you got folks who start wanting to redefine marriage and all those other issues like that, ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad day. It's just about the money. Folks do that in church too. They don't get their way, they pout. I just won't get them my money. It's a means of control. It's satanic. I'm telling you, that's where that stuff comes from. You can leave mad if you want. It's gospel truth. Well, let me give you a third thought. The place of the mark, the purpose of the mark. And I see thirdly, it's the provider of the mark. Verse 18. And we're done with 13 chapters. And we'll come to the end of the chapter. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. There will be some people who will see him for who he really is. They will have in wisdom and interpret his words and his ways as a hellish and satanic activity of deception. As for the mark itself, the mark serves as an indicator and illustrator of its illustrator, of the one who originated it, its source and its provider, which is who? Satan. The false prophet points to the Antichrist, and the Antichrist points to Satan. God the Holy Spirit points to Jesus, and Jesus points us to his Father. He's mimicking that which God does. That, listen, everything God does, he tries to mimic, and that's what's happening here in our narrative. But let me give you two thoughts, because I'm about to melt. First of all, the name of the beast. The name of the beast, or the number of his name, is what the text says. Now, the Greek and the Hebrew alphabets have numerical values attached to their letters and respective numbers, respective alphabets, excuse me. The beast's name, when it is known, will yield the number 666. What is known as, I'm going to butcher this word, Cindy, so you can correct me afterwards, and that's okay, is gematria. It's the art of Hebrew numerology. One definition given is this: gematria is the calculation of the numerical equivalence of letters, numbers, or phrases, and on that basis, gaining insight into the interrelation of different concepts and exploring the interrelationship between words and ideas. The assumption is behind this technique is that the numerical equivalence is not coincidental. Since the world was created through God's speech, each letter represents a different creative word, carries with a different creative force. Another definition is this: in Jewish mysticism, there's a traditional system of associating numbers with Hebrew letters for the purpose of discovering hidden meanings in words. This is accomplished by systematically associating letters with numbers and then finding other words and similar numbers. The latter words are regarded as comments on the original words. People have come up with all kinds of speculation because of that as the identity of the Antichrist. John Phillips again says this: gallons of ink have been spilled in seeking to interpret the meaning of the number 600, 666, which is what the King James translation says. People using this method have come up with anyone and everyone. This is me talking. From Bill Clinton. When he was in office, he was a popular folks to call that. George W. Bush, when he was in office, he was popular to be called that. And President Obama, he too is being popular to be called that. I don't think any of the three are it though, and I'll tell you why. Now, mind you, I said a Republican too, so at least you think I'm just talking ugly about the Democrats. None of them have enough popularity with the whole world. President Obama, from the right, is primarily hated. President Bush, from the left, is primarily hated. From President Clinton, from the right, primarily is hated. I don't think that those guys are it. But with that said, I haven't a clue who it is. And neither do you if you're honest. I don't know who it is. But we do know that the Antichrist's name will fit the number 666 when he controls the world. And who that is, I just don't know. By the way, Hitler's name fit 666 too. He was a lunatic too. We were talking about him the other night at supper. And because the popular thought is that he killed himself. But I don't know that that's ever been proven that he actually... that he did, for sure. Is it, Justin? I mean, popular thought is that he did, but there are some speculation that he didn't, but if he was alive today, he'd be about 130 or something like that. We looked it up too. So he's dead. And unless he repented, he's in hell. I don't know who it is. Neither do you. So, the name of the beast, though, his name, was given those Jewish numbers and all that kind of stuff, and those... will add to be 666, and I don't know who that is, neither do you, so it's just speculation. So, anyway, your second thought, though, the nature of the beast. The number speaks for itself in the very nature of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now this is good stuff here, though. Six is the number of man. Three is a divine number, the number of the Trinity. Three sixes implies that he's trying to be a God. He's trying to duplicate who God is. We've already seen that he's going to proclaim himself to be God. The Antichrist is why he's... Remember the Jewish... The temple's rebuilt. Sacrificial system's back in place. And then he rules the world from there, and the people, and he declares himself to be God, and he forces the world to worship him as God. But the best and the highest, his best and his highest, he's just pretending he's not the real thing. You see, the reason he's doing what he's doing is because the real God is in heaven allowing him to do this stuff. You see, the only reason I believe this is even going to be possible for him to dupe the world like this is because, first of all, the church will be snatched out. Mass chaos will come on the scene. Right now? This Superman will come on the scene and bring peace to the world. He'll have answer for all these problems, and how are we going to do all this stuff with all these Christians gone, these millions of people are suddenly gone. Then all of a sudden, he's got all these answers, and then everything begins to fall into place, just like God said it would. Preacher, why would God do it that way? You'll have to ask God when he gets to heaven. You get to heaven. I don't have any idea why God chose to do this, but I'm telling you this. I believe that God's hands are firmly on the steering wheel tonight and last night and next week and next month and next year if Jesus lets the world stand that long. I'm telling you tonight, he is in control. And we, you and I need to understand the nature of this beast. He is satanic at his core. And that finishes chapter 13. Tonight, maybe you're lost. You've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm going to invite you to come trust Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian. You're not walking with the Lord. I'm going to invite you to come back.